الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic study faith is about to begin, or Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students to our weekly class, welcome to our class, the Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be on adultery. A-D-U-L-T-E-R-Y. Now, I'm going to mix three things in here. It's going to be adultery, fornication, and zina. Zina is Z-I-N-A. I'm going to define them and then get into them and let you know what the Islamic faith says about them. For example, what you call a definition of adultery is voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and a person who is not his or her spouse. And then you have zina, Z-I-N-A, which is the main category of such crimes of zina, is defined as any act of illicit sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. And fornication, F-O-R-N-I-C-A-T-I-O-N, is generally consensual sexual intercourse between two people not married to each other. And so I'm going to leave that definition here for right now, where we have three different definitions, and it's sort of going to interact, or I may mention one or the other throughout my presentation on adultery, meaning having sex and not being married to the person that you're having sex with. And I already gave you all the definitions, so I won't get into it. Let me tell you what Islam says about this on this particular these particular areas. When the Prophet's companion Abu Huraira said, "A fornicator who fornicates is not a believer as long as he commits or she fornication. No one who steals is a believer as long as he commits or she commits theft." And no one who drinks wine is a believer as long as he drinks it. And repentance may be accepted after that. So no matter what we do, Allah will forgive. Except for associated partners with Allah, saying that someone is equal to Allah, worshiping someone in place of Allah, then that's not accepted by Allah, and it's not forgiven. But Allah forgives all other things. So if the person a fornicator, Allah will forgive you. But you're not a believer, or your faith leads you while you're fornicating. Are you stealing something? Your faith leaves you and kind of hovers over you while you are drinking, or while you are stealing, or of course while you are committing adultery or fornication. Also, is mentioned by the Prophet, because the reason I'm coming up with this particular topic, because it seemed like to me more and more people, and you all know what I'm talking about, it's nothing new, more and more people are having sex outside of marriage. And some people are married and still having sex outside of their relationship, outside of their marriage. And so I'm just mentioning it. I'm not saying this like, oh, you're so great or you're so good or something like that. No, I am not saying that kind of thing. I'm just reminding myself first and to you all who are my students about this thing about fornication and adultery. And when I talk about various things, I'm talking to all of us. I'm talking to you, and it's also a reminder to me. And again, when a person is stealing, his faith leaves him. If a person committing adultery or fornication, anything like that is in that, their faith leaves them. Or if a person is drinking alcohol and the like, their faith leaves them. So now what happened most of the time, what happened with people is it's like at one time it was a thing, and I don't know how it is in various countries, it was a thing to be a virgin was a great thing. Not to have sex outside of marriage. Now, to be a virgin, for example, male or female, it is a bad thing. You're still a virgin and you're such and such age? What's wrong with you? Nobody wants you? All these kind of things. People may end up lying and say, no, I'm not a virgin. I blah, 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 blah. I got with so many people, whatever. Okay, but if that thing is leaving, and people even having sex before they even get married or living with a person and not even married to the person, but having sex, having children, moving them, all and all these things, but they're doing everything but had a piece of paper to say that they're legally married to each other. So you have a lot of that going on, and people getting away from what Allah wants us to do, which is marrying the people. And He encouraged Muslims to get married. And that's how we have legal sex, and that's how we propagate create more of ourselves. And also Allah is pleased with us because we are doing what He wants us to do, which is being married and not having sex outside of marriage. Also it is mentioned in another hadith of saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, and he said that and admitted fornication twice. A man came to him, and he came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, may peace and blessings be upon him, and he said, and he admitted fornication twice. But he drove him away. Prophet, go, you know, okay, I go away, pretty much. He then came and admitted fornication twice. But he drove him away. He then came and admitted fornication twice. The Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, you have testified unto yourself four times. Take him away and stone him to death. There are certain things that happen to a person who admits that they fornicate or commit adultery and the like. Some is stoning, some is whipping, those kind of things. Or you whip them also, you stone them to death. So certain things happen to a person. But I won't get into that. I'm going to try to stay away from. I'm just mostly going to emphasize is that we as Muslims, we're not allowed to fornicate or commit adultery or have sex outside of marriage. If Muslim is doing this, then he or she is wrong. But keep in mind that they can go to Allah and repent to Allah. And when a person repent, they ask Allah for forgiveness. They feel remorseful about it, feel bad about it, immediately stop doing it. So certain things, so the criteria for repentance. The person don't say, oh Allah, please forgive me, I repent. And then right after they say that, then they go and have more sex with a person outside of marriage. And then after they get through with that, then they say, oh Allah, forgive me for I just did the same thing again. Because the person has to be careful of that, because really their repentance is not sincere. They're not serious about the fact that, yeah, oh Allah, forgive me, I won't do it again. And with the intentions they know they're going to do the thing again. Or the person feel bad about it, oh Allah, forgive me, I wronged myself, I'm ashamed of what I've done. And so I'm just advising you all, if you've done that or think about doing it, don't do it. And if you've done it, ask Allah for forgiveness over and over and over again. And so there are certain times when you can ask Allah's forgiveness, and there's stronger times when Allah will forgive you. Like, for example, when you get ready to break your fast, ask Allah then. When you're traveling, when it's raining, those kind of things. So, or when you have, you're doing your prayer, for example, and you bow down and have your face on the ground, then you go and you ask Allah for forgiveness. So those are some of the times, the stronger times where you can ask for forgiveness from Allah, but it's not over. Don't let shaitan convince you that, oh, you're done. Just go on and do it again and keep doing it. And don't worry about it. Don't worry about Allah. And don't worry about anything. You're okay in what you're doing. Doesn't it feel good? All these kind of things shaitan says to you, man, isn't she an attractive woman? Or isn't he a handsome man? You got to get with her, or you got to give it to him. And so you have to be careful about those kind of things, because you don't have to do it. And if you've done it, you can't ask Allah for forgiveness. And that's for male, female, young, old. It doesn't matter. I want to mention something else that the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he said, a companions about fornication, and they said, is it unlawful? This was the companion said to the Prophet, peace be upon him, is it unlawful? Allah, his messenger, had made it unlawful. He said, is it less serious for a man to fornicate with 10 women than for him to fornicate with his neighbor's wife? Then he asked them about stealing. They replied, is it unlawful? Allah and his messenger have made it unlawful, and said, it is less serious for a man to steal from 10 houses than it is for him to steal from his neighbor. So that's the worst of things a person can do, is that what? To do these things with their neighbor. To steal from their neighbor, to fornicate with their neighbor, is a very bad thing Islamically for a person to do. We shouldn't do it at all with anyone, neighbor or not neighbor, but particularly is mentioned here for a person's neighbor right next door or whatever, or across the street. You go fornicate from them or with them, or you steal from them. This is not a good thing for us to do. It's also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, when a man commits fornication, faith departs from him, and there is something like a canvas roof over his head, and when he quits that action, faith returns to him. And so it is what I mentioned before, but just to even get deeper, when you're talking about the faith kind of hovers above the person and leaves the person while they're fornicating, for example, or they're stealing, or they're drinking. Their faith leaves them. It kind of hovers over them. And this one, it says even more. It says that sort of a canvas, if you will. Like we have canvas, it sort of blocks the sun. It's not exactly a tent, but it sort of put a shade between you and the sun, for example. Piece of cloth or something, and you put it over, and I know sometimes people may go into the desert or something like that, and may put a canvas up and just sit out there for a while and watch the stars or sit and talk and have their horse or the camel or car or whatever out there with them. And so the same situation here is that you're talking about with your faith. Your faith is sort of blocked from you. Our barrier between you and your faith is this sort of canvas, if you will, while you're doing the act of drinking, fornication, or stealing, those kind of things. While you're doing these things, your faith leaves you. And that's for Muslim, and that's for non-Muslim. It doesn't matter. Whatever you have is left you, is no longer in you. And I pray to Allah that you don't die in that state. Suppose you die while drinking, or you die while taking alcohol or something like that, or you die while you're committing fornication, or you die while you're stealing, then I guess the question would be to you, will you have faith? If your faith leaves you and hovering over top of you, or a canvas between you and your faith, and you die while you're doing those unfaithful or criminal acts or unlawful acts, do you die as a person with faith or a person without faith? I'll let you answer that question on your own. Let me continue. It is also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, and he said, a man said, I have committed zina. Or she said, a woman said, I have committed zina. And she had committed zina, and she got pregnant. He handed her over to her guardian and said, look after her. When she gives birth, you bring her to him. He ordered that her garment be wrapped around her. Then he offered the funeral prayer. In other words, she was killed after that. And so we're not even supposed to even say bad things about this person, because this person committed or they really paid the price for what happened to them. And so I just wanted to mention it, and also mention that Umar said to him, are you praying for her even though she committed zina? And he said, she has repented in a matter that if it were to be shared among 70 of the people. So the thing is, just as woman's receiving the punishment that she received, it was her form of repentance. And it was like the strength or whatever power of 70 people. And so I just want to emphasize to you the strength of repentance first, or the person you don't really want to admit that you've done something like that, because what Allah hides at night, you don't share during the day. Because even on social media, people may brag about, I'm with this person or with that person, or that kind of thing. So Allah want to hide that thing from the compete people at night. Then you go and you blast it to everyone else on social media, or you tell this person tells someone else. That's between you and Allah. Okay, let's say you made a mistake, so you ask Allah for forgiveness. You feel bad about what you've done. You feel shame for what you've done. If it's drinking or if it's stealing, whatever it is, you feel bad about it. And so you ask Allah for forgiveness. Either you've committed adultery, meaning you're married, but the person you have sex with, you're not married. Or you have zina, which is having sex outside of marriage. Or you fornicate, which is, of course, having sex outside of marriage also, but between two people, they may not be married to each other. So we have to be very, very careful, because none of it is correct. All of it is wrong, and you got to pay the price for all of it. You think you're doing it in a dark or in a car or somewhere where people don't see you, in the woods, whatever. Allah sees you. I say this over and over, over again on my program. Allah can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So he can certainly see you. He knows everything. He's aware of everything. He is the all-wise, the all-knowing. So we have to keep in mind about Allah. We can't hide from Allah. And we have two angels that travels with us all the time, assigned to us, one on our right shoulder and one on our left shoulder. And the one on our right shoulder write down our good deeds or what we say or what we do, and the one on our left side write down our bad deeds and what we say and what we do in a bad way. And so no matter what we do or say, it's going to be written down. It's written down in our book. And on the day of judgment, we got to go before Allah and that to say a thing. No defending yourself, no being this great lawyer or qadi or judge or anything like that. None of these things. These things, your mouth will be, your basically will be shut until Allah commands your tongue to talk, and your tongue will testify for you or against you. It's no hiding. And then you think about tongue, what you mean? I have control over you. I tell you what to say. You don't tell me what to say. No. On this day, tongue of basis said, look, Allah commanded me to speak, I'm going to speak. Allah ordered me to speak, I'm going to speak. And so that's the same thing with your ears. It hears certain things, like different sound tunes inside of music, that kind of thing. Okay? And so, I'm going to might talk about that a little bit later on. Some of the verses in the music are not really good verses you should be listening to. So your ears will testify to that. Or what your eyes saw, testify to that. Or where your legs took you, or your feet took you, or your hands took you. All those different parts of the body will testify for or against you. So I'm giving you a heads up. I'm giving all of us a warning. We're not getting away with anything. Shaitan going to come to you, may Allah curse him, and going to try to convince you, don't listen to that man. He doesn't know what he's talking about, Shaitan or the devil. Come to you and say these things to you and convince you my words are not good words to listen to and not to follow what I'm saying. I'm just giving everyone a heads up about this thing. So we'll meet our Lord in a bad way, because we never know when we're going to meet our Lord or when Allah is going to have the trumpet blown and we're going to rise up naked uncircumcised before our Lord and be questioned by our Lord. We're going to be alone, one-on-one with our Lord, kind of blocked from everyone else. And then Allah going to ask you various questions, and you have to, and your body parts are going to answer them truthfully, and no lying about it. If you are a kathab, you're a liar all your life, then you won't be able to lie at that time, because your tongue going to testify against your body parts, going to testify against you. So I won't dwell on that so much. I want to also mention to my students that. It was said that Jibril, he came to me, to the Prophet, and peace be upon him, and he came to me and gave me glad tidings that whoever dies without associating anything with Allah, then he will enter paradise. And I said, even if he commits adultery and theft? And he said, yes. Okay, also, you must remember that we're talking about the people, mainly the people, and Allah knows best, that seek repentance from Allah. You have an opportunity to seek repentance from Allah, ask for forgiveness, those who drink and those who commit adultery and the like, ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah will forgive you your sins if it's as high as the mountain, reaches the sky, or like the foam on the ocean. So those who live around mountains, or you go near the mountainous region, look at the mountain. Just look at it. And just think, if you had sins that huge, that Allah will forgive you. If you should repent to Allah, and Allah will forgive you. Or if you, those who live near the water, near the ocean, and you see the waves come in, and many times the waves come in and they have this kind of foam over and over and over again. It has all this foam that comes in when it hits the shore. So it's like the foam on the ocean. If your sins are that much, then Allah will forgive you. The contents of your sin, Allah will forgive you. It doesn't matter, except for if it's shirk, where you associated a partner with Allah, where of course you'll be wrong in doing such a thing. And it's also mentioned by the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, when one commits fornication, one is not a believer. When one steals, one is not a believer. When one drinks, one is not a believer. And repentance is placed before him. Repentance is always there. We always have the opportunity to repent, no matter who you are. You don't have to keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing it over, drinking over and over, stealing over and over, fornicating over and over. You don't have to do that over and over. And keep in mind that you're not a believer at that time. You're not worshiping Allah properly. You don't believe in Allah. You just believe in your own action, what you want to do to satisfy yourself, and not trying to satisfy Allah. You have to love what Allah loves and hate what Allah hates. And Allah does not love a person that fornicates. Do not love you to fornicate, commit adultery, to commit zina, or to steal, or to drink, meaning alcoholic beverages and the like, and also other things, intoxicants. I talked about intoxicant on one of my previous episodes, which is any kind of drugs that you're taking, or you're taking, or you're smoking something. These are all intoxicants, ways of getting high, and so these are all these things, of course, are not good and correct things to do. So I want us to keep these things in mind, and that we shouldn't be a part of that or involved in that. It's also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. He said, there are three to whom Allah, the Almighty, is mighty and sublime, will not speak on a day, or not speak to on the day of resurrection. An old man who commits adultery, a poor man who is arrogant, and an imam who tells lies. Imam, like myself and other imams. Imam is like, I guess, ministers, if you will, or rabbis, or clergy, or leaders of a community. And sometimes they only lead the people in prayer. Or it can be in some places where the imam is the person who leads the community, or there might be a leadership in terms of a board of directors who's sort of in charge of the community, and the imam is a sort of religious leader in terms of education and those kind of things in the community. And so again, the people that Allah will not speak to will be an old man who commits adultery, and a poor man who is arrogant, or an imam who tells lies. And so I want us to always keep these things in mind, my beautiful sisters, my beautiful students, pertaining to when you're talking about adultery and the law not. I would just assume an old woman or person who commits adultery, and Allah knows best. I'm only going by what it says in a particular hadith. I can't change nor add to it. Also, want to mention one other thing is that it was mentioned that it was said the son of Adam has his share of zina decreed for him, and when he will commit that which has been decreed. The zina of the eyes is looking. The zina of the tongue is speaking. The zina of the ears is listening. The zina of the hands is striking. And the zina of the feet is walking. The soul wishes and desires, and the private parts confirm or denies that. So in other words, I want to do certain things with my hands, that is unlawful, like touching a woman with my hands that I'm not married to, or I want to kiss her with my lips. I want to listen to music that may be summoning me to do things that are not honorable in Islam. Love the one you with, those kind of things, encouraging that kind of, and those kind of things. It's not a good thing to do. Of course, the more you listen to it, the more you be encouraged to act upon those things. Or you're looking at porn, for example, and that's a thing that Muslims are not to do, but you may have some Muslims that do this kind of thing, and it's wrong. And you who are non-Muslim, if you do this kind of thing, you are also wrong in doing this kind of thing. Islam is perfect. Muslims are imperfect. They're not perfect. They're trying to work towards perfection. Allah says, "But they have perfected my religion upon you, which is Islam." And so we can't look at Muslims and say, "Look, he's doing it, or he was at the club with me, or he whatever with me, or she was." Okay, all right, they were wrong in what they're doing, but that don't mean when you embrace Islam and you follow them. Are they your example? Your example is in Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, and also Quran. Those are your examples of how you should be if you decide to embrace Islam. You want to be the best amongst the people and the best example of the people. You want to find out more about fornication, adultery, and zina. You can always go to White Islam to find out more information about it. also the International Online University and American Open University, and find out more and more information about Islam, and increase your knowledge about Islam in this particular area I've been talking about, and other areas that I spoke on, even some areas I haven't spoken on as of yet. And so I want to just remind my students, you know, those are some of your other sources of embracing your information about Islam. And speaking of embrace, embracereverb.org, I believe it is, you can also find out more information about this beautiful way of life called Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.